And then someone went,
testing, 1, 2.
I can really taste the bacteria.
What's up, John? What's up, John Burton?
1, 2, 3, 4. Why you can't have a best?
Okay, wait. Let me rewind. John, you're right.
Right. I'm just going to play us in a little bit.
When are you going to tell me we're starting?
We started.
Okay. Awesome.
Yeah.
It was nice having her
at
the house. That was great.
Yeah, that was a fun time.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
We loved it.
Oh, I'm
Everybody
glad.
Everybody loved it. Everyone's
Hold
still
on.
Talking
Let me just
about
get
it.
You a little bit. Come on. Yeah. There you go. You want to stay like a fist away.
Okay.
And if you ever want to check yourself, you see that green bar?
At the bottom?
No, the two green bars
okay.
that are running. You want it to be like that big.
Okay.
So if you ever want to check yourself.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, no, that was fun.
Yeah.
That was really
great.
Fun. And
are we on yet?
And yeah.
We are?
Yeah. But I can.
Okay. Where's your guitar?
I didn't bring it.
Oh.
This is your time.
Okay, I really wanted to hear you play. I was going to make you play so everybody could hear how talented you are, this talent that you don't even show.
That was so funny that you said, wait a second, I didn't know you played guitar.
And I was like the singing. Everybody's like, I can't believe you sang the Goo Goo Dolls like that.
Well, Goo Goo Dolls are weird to sing
yeah.
because you know about guitar?
No.
Okay. Well, you're learning, right?
I'm starting.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So the guitar's tuned, right?
Yep.
And it's tuned in a specific EAD. GBE, right? And then you play chords on the guitar. Well, the lead singer for the Goo Goo Dolls can't play guitar, but he's a guitar. He plays the guitar, but he can't play traditional guitar.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So what he has to do is he changes the tuning for every single
song.
So every song has its own guitar. So, like if he wanted them to play Black Balloon, he's got to get the Black Balloon guitar. You want them to play Iris, he's got to get the Iris guitar.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And so people don't cover the Goo Goo Dolls because it's too fucked up to try to figure out
all these different guitars.
Yeah, and right.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, so I just kind of figured out a way to do it.
It was amazing.
Oh,
so
thanks.
Let me just tell everybody, because they're not going to know what we're even talking about. So John came to my house. It's actually going to make me cry, because that's what I do. I had just gotten out of the hospital. And he said, we're coming over. I'm going to get some music friends. I'm like, listen, I'm in bed. He's like, that's okay. We'll play in your bedroom. And so I got up that day because I'm like, they're not coming in my bedroom. And a few friends happened to be around, so they stuck around. And he came in with Sherilyn.
Yep.
And Angelo.
Yep.
Amazing. And they proceeded to do like 2.5-3 hours of music. In my living room, we were dancing, and it was unbelievable.
Yeah, it was moving.
For everybody.
Really fun. You have a bunch of fun friends, man.
I do.
Yeah.
I'm lucky.
Yeah.
I'm super lucky.
A bunch of fun friends.
Yeah.
And you danced.
And I danced. Yep. I got up and danced. I'm having some right leg issues, so I'm always happy when I danced. But then we went to brunch at Silk Factory and saw Angelo
right
there.
Yeah.
So I danced a little more there.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
It was great. It was super fun.
Yeah.
Music's important.
Music's very important.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how you feeling now?
I'm hanging in there.
I mean,
a lot's happened.
Yeah.
Oh, well, a lot's happened since I've been on last time.
Right.
For sure.
Do you want to catch people up?
Sure. In and out of hospitals. I'm now in hospice. Which, by the way, if nobody knows this, hospice is incredible in the Hudson Valley.
Really?
I had no idea. I always thought it was for people that were, you know, had a week left, you know, really genuinely in bed, their last, you know, dying moments. And that's actually not the case at all.
Mm.
You just have to be off of treatment and you can request hospice. So
okay.
As soon as, like, either you choose to be off treatment or in my case, I ran out of options. I ended up doing 89 chemos in total, and then I ran out of options and didn't qualify for any trials. So they finally said, like, okay, like it's time, go to hospice. And you can go in and out of hospice. So if all of a sudden a trial came up next week,
then you could just,
then I could leave hospice if I wanted. I don't see that happening, but do a trial. But they're amazing. I mean, they have music therapy, they have end-of-life doula, they have physical therapy, they have a chaplain, this really cool guy, actually, Chaplain Joe. He's amazing. He should be doing voiceovers.
Oh, wow. I got to get him on here.
Yeah, you do. He's, like, super cool. But they just offer all these incredible things without judgment. You know, they're just amazing. And my thing is unfortunately, I have to be on a lot of pain medication, but they know I don't like pills. And I'm like, get me to the level carefully that I'm not feeling pain, but I'm still functioning.
Right.
You know, I can still walk. And I actually went on a hike this weekend. Which
I saw that. That's amazing. 4 miles.
Yeah, it was awesome.
I'm like, I don't think I could hike 4 miles.
It was so beautiful. Yeah, it was great. It was good to get out in Mother Nature because I was in bed a lot for like 6 weeks. So it was heaven to be out. But hospice is incredible in this area.
That's fantastic.
I've been impressed.
Okay,
really,
okay, cool.
Really impressed.
Cool.
So, yeah, so I'm in hospice now. And, you know, some people will say I'm out of here in 2 weeks, and some will say 4 months, and some won't tell me. So it's like hard to wrap your head around.
Yeah. What's the appointment like where they tell you, all right, we're out of stuff to give you?
Well, so Sloan, you know, I'm all about MSK and Sloan. They're right. Amazing. My oncologist kind of kept pushing, and he pushed me a little too far. He's awesome. But I'm like, this chemo's going to literally kill me. Like, I thought I was going to die.
It.
Oh, yeah. I was like, my body cannot do anymore. I'm done. And then my little sister came to town and came to Sloan on my next appointment, and she convinced me to do one more chemo, one more new cocktail. And against all my better judgment, I did it, and it nearly killed me.
How?
It just, I was in just this weird pain. I wasn't digesting food.
Oh, my God.
All sorts of weird things were happening. And I'm like, well, and then I ended up in the hospital. 3 days after that chemo, I ended up in the hospital. It's Sloan's ER in New York City. So I had to get a ride for that. And then that ER doctor is like, listen, like, it's time to call it. And I'm like, I know. So we called it. They put me on drugs I never thought I'd be on. And they called it, and it's okay.
Dude. You called it. You actually said.
I called it.
Enough's enough.
Yeah. Enough's enough. Yeah.
That's kind of the cowboy way to do it.
Yeah.
Right?
You know, people are like, oh, my God. Like, we don't want you to die. We have to pray for a miracle. And I'm like, hello? I already got a miracle.
Yeah.
I really did.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that. They gave me 2 months. It's going to be 4 years.
Yeah.
On Valentine's.
Oh, it is? 4 years on Valentine's?
Yeah.
So
that's like.
So what is that headspace like to, like, because we all know, but you know.
Well, I'm like, I'm so grateful.
Right.
I'm really, truly so grateful. It's been an amazing 4 years. I mean, it sounds so backwards and twisted because it was a very hard 4 years going through so much chemo and hospitals and puking and, you know, everything that goes with.
Yeah.
You know, anybody that has cancer knows. So it's a little bit of a weird headspace because I'm like, okay, wow, like I really have to wrap myself around death now. Here we are. It's knocking on the door. And a few weeks ago, I lost 2 dear friends of mine within 3 days of each other. Both a cancer.
Sorry.
One with my type, one with a rare lung cancer. They both should have gone after me. I was mentoring them both. And that, like, was like, whoa. Like, I woke up like, oh, crap. Like,
yeah.
Here we are. And I just lost 2 really good friends of mine. And, like, I'm next. So it's not easy because it's hard to imagine actually not living.
Right.
Because I'm all about living. But I'm also, like, planning it. Like, you know, 2 years ago, I told my friends, I want everybody, like, music and dancing on my bed. And now I don't want that.
Okay.
Now I want, like, quiet music for sure, but, like, tribal meditation. I want to spend one-on-one time with my friends.
Mm-hmm.
Like, intimate time. Not, like, party. Like,
right.
Intimate, Like, tell me your deepest, darkest secrets.
Right.
And I'll never share them. Right. Well, maybe I'll write a last. I keep teasing them. I'm going to write a last minute book called The Slumber Party.
Everything people told me while I was.
Everything people told me while I was on my deathbed.
Yeah.
That's a great idea. Yeah, but it's kind of a incredible time.
That's a really cool idea for a book, by the way.
Yeah, in a backwards way, because I'm really taking the time to be intimate with friends.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've had one of my best friends who lives in Texas. She's coming in 2 weeks to visit. She called me crying and crying. And I'm like, it's okay. It's okay. And she's like, I'm so sorry. I'm like, it's okay. Like, I'm not in a poor me headspace at all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't want to be around that. I go, it's cry. Come here, cry. It's cool. Like, I'm crying. But then we have to, like, switch gears and have fun with the time I have left, and laugh about our 30 years of knowing each other.
Right.
Like, how fortunate for me to have that. So it's interesting.
I was thinking about this. It's like as a Faustian deal, kind of. If somebody came to me and said, I'm going to give you four amazing years. It's going to suck, but they're also going to be the most important. Are these the four most important years of your life?
100%.
Yeah.
No question.
Gave me that.
Yep.
And then at the end of 4 years, I would have to part, but I could part on my own terms.
Yes.
I don't know that there aren't people who wouldn't take that deal.
Yes.
Right?
It's fortunate because I've had time to think about it and do things. And, I mean, I don't know if you remember, the first time I came on the show, we talked about the last snowfall.
Yep.
So when I first got diagnosed, they aborted a surgery February 14th, 4 years ago, which was just really the worst moment in the whole process is when they're like, we couldn't do the surgery, you have spread everywhere. And I went home and was watching the snowflakes. And that still makes me, like, cry. I actually wrote an essay about it because it was such a gift in such a twisted way that I just watched every snowflake for 6 hours. And still, every time it snows, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm getting one more storm. Mm-hmm. Like one more, I'm seeing more snowflakes. And I feel grateful for that. I really do. I feel grateful for that.
How has it changed from the first show to now? How has your perception of saying goodbye changed?
It's been difficult because I mentor.
Right.
You know, so I've seen.
Which is an interesting call because, like.
It was my calling.
It was.
It just, like, it's amazing. It was my calling. It's like my favorite thing to do.
Really?
And I do it on a volunteer level always. You know, initially I was coaching and I was trying to do a career change, really. And it just didn't happen that I was actually making money. It just ended up all being volunteer. So I've seen a lot of people die, and it's been eye-opening, and it's been eye-opening. You know, sometimes it's the husband, sometimes it's the wife. So then I end up speaking to the person that's still alive or the kids that are still alive. And, you know, it's heavy. It's
intense. What do you learn from all that?
Everything can change in a heartbeat.
Really?
People, you know, because I know people have depression. I understand that. And not everybody necessarily has a positive mindset. I kind of think I always have.
Mm-hmm.
That's just sort of me. So sometimes it's hard for me to understand when people are depressed.
Right.
Because I'm like, oh my God, like, come on, snap out of it. Like, this is your day. Like, there's people dying every day, and you're still here. You got to make the most of it. So that's been eye-opening because not everybody's like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to work really hard to make moments happen for them. And I don't. Like, I don't have to work hard at that. I notice everything. I just naturally gravitate towards paying attention to everything.
Right.
And I'm fortunate for that. But it's really sad because there's so many people out there dying, and so many people dying of all different types of cancer, and nobody knows why. And, you know, some people will say, oh, you're here 4 years because positive mindset, but that's not true because I mentor people that have, you know, 30-year-old women that have just had babies and they have toddlers and they have little kids and they do die in 2 months. Mm. And trust me, they want to live.
Right.
So you just don't know.
Well, there's a difference between want to live, though, and a positive mindset, though. Like, you crave life. That's very different than just, you know.
I do crave life.
Everything's going to be okay, positive mindset, yeah, smiley face.
That's true, but there,
like, you crave it. But even before, because, like I know your life before, even before, you just, squeezing the most out of every day is not just a cancer chapter for you.
That's correct.
So,
that is correct.
I don't know. I still kind of wonder a little bit if maybe you're well, you fucked the odds right over, and I wonder, yeah, if that is why,
yeah,
to some degree.
Yeah, it's hard to say.
I mean, you take more trips in 1 year than I have taken in my lifetime.
I made
you
that
skydive,
happen.
You scuba dive, there's...
That's true. I'm just an adventurous by nature.
The list of stuff you won't do is shorter than the list of stuff will do.
That's true. And I'm grateful because I did a 3-week trip to California, my home state. I was in the hospital most of August, and I had tubes coming out of me, and it was just a whole nightmare. And they took the tubes out, and I flew to California the next day. Oh, it was amazing.
That is amazing.
And, you know, the universe was like, okay, I'm going to let you have 3 weeks of no pain.
Mm-hmm.
And I literally had this incredible adventure with kids. I mean, adults. They're now adults. People I've known since I was 4, 5, 6 years old.
Mm.
And high school friends. They did a reunion. And I had dinner with old teachers. And a friend of mine drove the whole entire trip. We went to all the national parks. And that trip was extra special because I was not in pain.
What's your relationship with the universe now?
Well,
God, universe, first off, what do you think?
And well, curiosity. I'm a little like, ooh, you know, what really happened? You know, I grew up Christian and I consider myself Christian. I also consider myself Buddhist. And I kind of consider everybody equally the same, and it's universal energy.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a curiosity, like, okay, what really happens when you really take those last breaths?
Right.
Like, we don't really know, right, till it happens. I've had people that have died, maybe I'm imagining it, maybe I'm making it up, but that have come and talked to me. And I had an experience when I was going under surgery in August. The room was freezing. They didn't give me the anti-anxiety drug yet.
Mm.
They were tying me down. And I'm like, can't you just wait? Can't you just relax me before you're tying me down?
Yeah.
And I was kind of freaking out.
Seems a little out of order.
It seemed out of order. Yeah. And they didn't wait. And so they tied me down. And it was a wild experience. I had two friends that both were like mothers to me.
Okay.
Much older than me. Died of different things. Each one instantly was there. It was crazy. And each one individually put their hands under the ties that were on my wrists, grabbed my hands. And the nurse comes back. She comes back to give me the anti-anxiety. And she goes, who loosened the straps?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And when I woke up, they gave me that drug and then they knocked me out. And I woke up from surgery. And I was like, oh, my God, that was like the most amazing thing. Did you guys see that?
Oh, wow.
And it was weird.
That's incredible.
But it was amazing. And I really, I'm like, I did not make that up. I wasn't even on any pain medications yet.
Right, right.
So, you know, I think it's peaceful when you leave here. I don't think there's a hell.
Right.
I really don't. I think hell's kind of here on earth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's hell everywhere these days.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, so I just...
But if you're Buddhist, are you a reincarnation?
I kind of believe in a reincarnation thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, because you look at nature, and nature reincarnates right in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
So why would we be any different?
Right.
And there's a... You know, sometimes I'm all about the moon. I'm a Cancer, and the moon is like my planet. And I'm not, you know, super into that stuff. But when I see the moon, I'm literally like, I was a skydiver. Like, I know how to fly, and I'm going to swing off that moon.
Mm.
And that's like a thing for me. Like, I'm going to be on that moon. So who knows?
Do you think we went to the moon?
Yeah.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm having a guy on in 2 weeks and I...
Oh, he doesn't think we did?
Well, he did a whole documentary.
Oh,
and,
really?
And wrote books. And I did a... I don't pre-interview, but I did with him because he was on... he was on Rogan and I heard him. So I'm like, okay. He was convincing non-Rogan, but I still want to talk to him just to see. So I talked to him. I was on the phone with him for 15 minutes. He's got me. I don't think we went.
I have to listen to that one.
I don't think we went at all. Yeah.
You know, it's a big universe. Who knows?
Like, yeah.
Who really knows? I'm trying to find peace with the whole death thing. Like, I'm very particular now. Like, I want a quiet room.
Right.
And I want lots of flowers in my room. But now sometimes I have to take oxygen, so I can't have candles in my room. So I'm like, nobody.
Candles.
Yeah.
You can do electric candles.
Yeah, electric,
candles,
that's
right?
True. So it's you know, and I'm fortunate that I get to talk about it. You know, I'm grateful that I wasn't in a car accident.
Yeah. I was thinking about you and like purpose, and do you think this is your purpose?
I kind of feel like it.
You've impacted so many with this story.
Accidentally.
But.
Really. So I got a letter a few weeks ago via Messenger, and it was this guy, and I'm so sorry, it's going to make me cry. He said, like, thanking me like crazy. And he's like, I watch you on Facebook, and I don't even know how to do like advertising or social media on Facebook. I don't know how to do any of that. I have no idea. Somehow I ended up with a professional Facebook page, but I think I just somehow got so many followers. But he wrote me this letter and he said, we lost our 6-year-old. He didn't say how. He goes, our 6-year-old daughter died and my wife and I follow you on Facebook. And I'm like, whoa. And he said, if it wasn't for you and your postings, we would have never gotten through this.
Mm.
And I don't know these people.
Mm.
They just somehow found me. I don't know how. And I'm like, wow, I'm making a difference. I'm not sure how or why, but people are saying that. And, you know, I had a guy show up at my door in my neighborhood, and I'm like, who's this delivery guy? He was this big jolly guy coming up my driveway with this giant bouquet of flowers. So I'm like, oh, somebody sent me flowers. And he comes in and gives me this big thing of flowers and he bursts out crying. And then behind him walks one of my neighbors. And so I'm confused, like, what's going on? Why is this guy crying? And why am I getting this bouquet of flowers? And he goes, you mentored my wife who died. And it was like, whoa. And he's like, I can't thank you enough. Well, you know, it was really special. So as much as people think I give, I kid you not, I'm getting like twice as much in return.
Sure.
You know?
That's how giving works.
With just kindness. Like, people just need to be nice.
Yeah.
You know, like, you guys coming to my house was like, it was just one of the nicest things. Like, it was so thoughtful.
Mm.
And like an old work colleague of mine, she sent me 4 things of ice cream in the mail. And I'm like, that is like so clever.
That is.
And so sweet. Another friend sent me silk PJs. And I'm like, this is just so nice. Mm-hmm. Like, and I had a friend, I'm just going to call her out, Kelly George, because she walked into my house a few weeks ago, put my dog on a leash, because it's very hard for me to walk my dog, put my dog on a leash, took my dog out for a walk, came back in, walked into my kitchen. She's not even talking to me. She walked into my kitchen, did all my dishes, swept my floor, went and did my laundry. And I just sat on my couch in complete awe. And I have lots of friends like that. Like, she's just, it's so nice.
Yeah.
It's just so nice. And people don't realize the smallest, tiniest thing. My friend Judy driving me here today because I'm not allowed to drive now. The smallest, nicest things make a huge, huge impact.
When Trish was going through, when we were in the thick of it, I have a friend named Elena, and, you know, everybody's kind of rallying around with motivational speeches, and you'll be all right, and, you know, we'll work it out, and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
She called while we were in the car. No, I'm going to cry. While we're in the car, and we're going down for chemo, and Elena calls, and she says, I have 2 hours and a bucket. I'm going to clean your house.
I love that.
And it was locked, unfortunately, because we weren't there. But I hung up the phone with her, and Trish goes, "She gets it
exactly." Right?
That's it. It's not looking for a orchestra. Just come and
exactly
play a little guitar. That's what you
exactly.
That's what you, yeah,
the nicest. Yeah, the nicest. You know, bringing somebody food or soup. I mean, your wife making us all that lasagna. Oh my goodness, and soup for days. We were like, this is like the best lasagna we've ever had.
I tried to put myself in your head a bunch, and one thing I think I would feel is, all right, like I'm tired of dealing with this. Like, do you have like death fatigue? Are you like,
yeah,
like
I don't have death fatigue. I don't really have death fatigue because most people are scared to even talk about death.
Yeah, and so, you have it tattooed
so
on your forehead.
For me, I think about it, but most people aren't like, oh, you're going to die. And I'm a realist, and I like people that are realists.
Right.
Like, it's okay to be sad, and it's okay to say, I hope you get another miracle, but, like, excuse my language, shit is real. Like, this is happening now.
Right.
Like, there's no, I got 4 years, and it's highly unlikely I will be sitting here next year. Mm-hmm. I mean, that would be quadruple miracles. And so I like people that are very forward about it and talk about it because it's, like, this is my world now. We're getting real.
Right.
But I don't have death fatigue. I have cancer fatigue.
You're just fucking tired of cancer.
I'm just tired of hospitals. I'm tired of being poked. I'm tired of trying different drugs.
If I mean, I know it's not going to happen, but if somebody came and said, look, we have another thing, but it's going to be like chemo. You're not going to like it, but we have another thing. Would you do it?
I don't. My gut says no.
I kind of like that.
I just, you know, I don't think my body can handle more, for one.
Right.
And part of me is like, you know my motto, live while you're living.
Yep.
It's really hard to do that when you're sick.
I see, and I thought that when I found out that you were done, I thought, good for her. Because one of the things, just from my little walk through cancer thing, nothing's in your control.
Right.
And when you're in treatment, you just all you can do is take, and that's annoying. You know you can't give. That's annoying. You don't have a personality. You're a checklist. There's it's just like, and I'm kind of like, if I knew how this was going to end up anyway, I'd like to think that I would make the same. Just I'd be brave enough to make the same decision you did. Like, no, if I'm going as me.
Right. Well, and it's interesting because a few people have said to me, oh my God, stop organizing your house and stop packing things up and giving things away. And I said, you have to let me do this because I actually have control over this.
Yeah.
So I'm like marked on my artwork for my sisters and for my son. And, you know, I've given jewelry to friends, like I'm doing it now. And yeah, that's me being controlling, but it's nice that I can control that.
I love that you're doing it.
You know?
Yeah, and it's a like I obviously pray to you that you have a 30-year goodbye. But if it's not that,
right,
that's the most beautiful goodbye.
Yeah,
here's my life. I'm going to go out with everything the way I want it.
Yeah,
and I'm going out as me. I'm not going out weak. I'm not going out. I'm not taking. I'm giving.
Right,
and I have, and the example of that has changed people I didn't know.
Right.
That's, well,
I got a
that's
letter.
Badass.
I got a letter yesterday. It was very touching, in the mail.
People still send things in the mail?
Yep. So this summer I was on a pill and I did not have side effects. So I worked really hard to regain my strength. Mm-hmm. So I was like hiking a lot, and I was doing this swim class with older people, like everybody's probably 70 and older.
Right.
And they were sort of, what are you doing in this class? And I had hair then. And they were great. So I'm like becoming friends with all these old people, and I'm looking forward to it. And we're doing aerobics in the pool, and it's super fun and
great
music. And there's funny people that are screaming and clapping and like great workout.
Sounds like a very Leslie Wayne thing.
Yeah, so I did that all summer. And then right before Thanksgiving, things really started tanking and I couldn't go. And then I showed up with no hair. No, first I wore a different swimsuit. So they saw my port.
Mm.
And this woman comes up to me and she goes, Leslie, is there something you need to tell us? Because they didn't know I had cancer.
Right.
So I told her, and I'm like, no, it's fine. I've already had it for like 3.5 years. And they're like, oh, you're kidding. And then I show up with no hair. And again, they're like, are you okay? Like, do you need anything? They were so sweet.
Mm.
So then I called. It's a friend of mine that happens to own Gold's Gym. And I said, listen, can you cancel my membership? Because I can't get there anymore because of driving. It's a little far from my house. And can you just let the swim class people know I won't be back? Like, I can't do the class anymore. So he clearly did that for me, which I'm grateful for. And I got a letter from this guy, older gentleman, yesterday. And he's like, from the gym, from my class. They gave him my address. And he's like, I hope that's okay, which I think is so sweet.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, you know, everybody misses you. What can we do for you? And I'm like, like, somebody took the time to get my address, handwrite a card, and mail it.
Mm.
And that's it. That makes a huge impact if you do that for somebody.
Sure.
For everybody listening. Like, it's just incredible. So I'm so lucky because I've met so many different people on this journey these last almost 4 years. I'm in a writing class, older people, super smart people, way smarter than me. So interesting.
Mm.
And they're like on my journey with me.
Right.
It's like super, and my friends are on my journey with me.
Yeah.
You know, and some are only now like, oh crap, she's like, this is it, she's gonna die.
Right.
Like, they haven't really thought about it.
Have you had friends that had to like distance themselves, like can't handle this?
A little bit, but worse than that, because that I can kind of understand.
Right.
Worse than that, this is gonna sound terrible, when people realize, like, you know, because people talk, oh, Leslie's in hospice, oh my God, she's like, this is it for her. I've had people come out of the woodworks that have, in 4 years, not checked on me once. And that is painful.
Mm.
Because they're like, hey, I want to come now, tomorrow, and have tea with you.
Right,
and talk
so
with
I feel
you.
Better.
So they feel better. Right. And I'm like, and in my head, you know, I'm not saying this, but in my head, I'm like, wow, all the times I posted publicly on Facebook, like, I'm desperate for a ride.
Somebody kidnapped me.
To my chemo.
Yeah.
Like, I need a ride, because it was always the same people taking me.
Right.
It's the same group of friends. Like, where were you?
Yeah.
And now you want to have tea with me? It's not going to happen.
Good for you.
I'm putting my time and energy into the people that have loved me.
Right.
And have genuinely been there for me.
Right.
These, you know, my whole life, but really in particular, the last 4 years that have helped me.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's who I want to spend my time with.
I feel this about you. Do you feel this about yourself? One of the gifts that you have given is bringing out other people's best selves.
I don't know.
I think so. Like, the story about the guy that you know, that wrote you the note just now.
I think it's made people...
That's pretty elevated.
I hope I've made people think. Like, just be kind. Like, the smallest thing. And I know, this is really cool, this is a great story. A friend of mine from high school, you know, who I haven't seen since I was 17, I saw in September because they did like this little high school gathering for me, which was so cool.
Mm.
And this old friend wrote me this letter, and she said, she's a teacher, she's a really good teacher at our old high school. And she said, I'm so thankful for everything you've said. Because I said to them, like, you got to live, you got to do things.
Right.
You got to travel. Whatever it is for you, you got to do it. And she said, for the first time ever in my teaching career, because of what you said, I'm taking a week off and I'm going on vacation. And my husband and I have made a list of, like, our bucket list of things we're going to do. So we're living while we're living.
And beautiful.
So, and that way, that makes me so happy. I'm like, oh my gosh, I completely impacted her.
Yeah.
To go do fun things.
Yeah.
Because that's what everybody should be trying to do.
Right.
But we don't. We get caught up in life.
That's something though, to take a terminal diagnosis and flip it into who knows how many thousands of lives paths changing.
Yeah.
Because how did you make the decision to be public facing about it?
I think that's just me.
Okay.
I'm a little bit of a straight shooter, sometimes maybe too much of a straight shooter. So I think it just, it was easier for me, well, because I'd have people also calling me, and I didn't want to pick up the phone because I didn't feel good.
Right.
So it was easiest for me to keep people updated with the negative and the positive
on
Facebook than it just, that's just how I did it.
Did you get pushback for that? Negative pushback.
Well, not to my face. Maybe behind my back I did. Not to my face I did it.
I posted that picture of Trish with her face burned on the pillow and everything.
That's intense.
And I got pushback for it. One of her friends wrote me and said, "Hey, I don't think you should be doing that. You know, she doesn't want you doing that." And I'm like, "You think I didn't ask her first?
Right?
just putting pictures up?" But it's so funny how like I think public facing helps.
I do too.
Yeah, because a lot of people have
cancer or other diseases and they don't talk about it.
Yeah. And that just makes it worse.
And it makes it worse. So I had a hospice girl at my house last night. I'm not going to say her name. She's like a nurse, and she was doing some speech testing on me because I'm starting to have speech issues and like choking
issues.
Can't
tell here.
Yeah, it's a weird thing that's happening. But we talked. She was for 3 hours. She was so cool.
Mm.
And she confided in me that she has 3 autoimmune diseases.
Mm.
And we were openly talking about it. And she... I could tell she felt good being able to openly talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's important because how are your friends going to be there for you?
Right.
Your family's going to be there for you if they don't know.
Right.
What's going on?
Right. And I think people that don't want you to be public facing, that's all fear based.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to make me feel bad. I don't want that. I'm afraid of feeling bad to begin with. So don't do it. And I always think that's on the person who doesn't want you to be.
Yeah. Right? I think for the most part, like, I mean, because I just know that because people have contacted me, like, thank you for sharing your journey. Food for thought. You know, it's made me think.
Yeah.
Or now I have cancer, because I've seen a lot of people get cancer and survive cancer during my journey.
Mm-hmm.
And I know the whole time I'm dying and I'm like, oh, if they just know, like, they're really going to get through this and they're going to be okay.
Do you resent that?
I don't resent it. Sometimes maybe I'm slightly envious. Like,
right.
I wish I had breast cancer instead of this cancer, because
right.
this cancer is deadly. I mean, it just is. And I know lots of people have died from breast cancer. My grandma had it. My mom had it. My sister had it. So all due respect. But like my type of cancer, which I don't say the name, it's bile duct cancer. But I, to this day, cannot pronounce the medical name because I've refused to ever say it.
You wrote it the other day, and I was like, that's the biggest fucking word I've ever seen in my life.
So, yeah. So now I'm a little bit trying to tell people, like, we need research, because we do. We need funding. It's a growing cancer. People are really unaware of it. It's a cancer that sneaks up on you because the only symptom people get is right side pain, which could be so many things.
It could be, yeah.
So many things.
Yeah.
And people are misdiagnosed for years. So by the time they're diagnosed, they're stage 4.
Mm-hmm.
And there's really
not
much hope.
Yeah.
No, I mean, there's just not hope there. So, but the cool thing is I don't know if I told you this. I just won a scholarship.
I saw.
Yeah, to go to the annual conference. So all paid for, which is really
beautiful.
Cool.
Yeah.
And I'm actually going to get to meet. Because when I mentor, it's on the phone.
Right.
Or some people FaceTime. But it's rarely face-to-face. And I rarely get to actually meet people. And I'm going to get to meet people that I've mentored.
That's amazing.
In person.
Yeah.
So that, you know, I'm like, I told hospice, I go, you got to keep me alive. That's April 8th to the 11th. so I can
did
do
they,
that.
Did they guarantee it?
And they didn't guarantee it, but they're like, positive.
Good. What role do you think positivity plays in all this? Because I get you, like, I get what you're saying, like, you know, shit's real. Like, it's cute to be positive, but shit's real.
Shit is real.
But...
Listen, there's numerous mornings where I've woken up and I'm getting out of the shower, and I'm like, I look terrible or I feel terrible, and I put on a song, and I'm hysterical crying.
Mm.
People don't know that. I don't tell people that.
Right.
But
did now.
That's the reality.
Yeah.
You know, that's like the reality.
Do you cry about it every day?
Not every day. No, not
really?
Every day.
See, even that's badass.
No, not anymore.
To have one day when you're not crying.
In the beginning, I did.
Right.
In the beginning, I did. And then I think for, you know, 2 years, I was like a little bit avoidance.
Right.
You go through avoidance.
Right.
And
which
because,
makes sense.
Because I was like doing my chemo and I just got used to my routine.
Right.
And I was, you know, making traveling plans and, you know, making my bucket list. And then it got real. So more, well, this is when it really got real. Just now, when I was at Sloan 2-3 weeks ago, I was in ER and I had Nurse Ratchet.
Mm.
I had a terrible night nurse.
Yep.
And I was itching, which is, that's part of my cancer. You itch like crazy. So I was bleeding everywhere on the sheets. And I'm like, can you help me? I just need Benadryl. Can you get me Neosporin? She wasn't helping me. I'm like ripping my skin off. This other nurse came in. She's like, honey, are you okay? And I'm like, I just need Neosporin. Like,
right.
Do I need to walk out of here to the pharmacy to get Neosporin? Right. And she opens the drawer and there's A&D right there. And she takes 10 minutes, rubs it all over my back, which then I was able to sleep.
Mm.
But I woke up and I had it all quiet when I was at Sloan. I'm about this whole, I don't know, I crave quiet now. And everything was quiet and dark. And all of a sudden it hit me and I got hysterical.
Mm.
Like, okay, shit just got real.
Right.
Like, this is like no joke. Like, I'm out of here. Like,
right.
That ER doctor just said, you'll be lucky if you're 2 weeks. Okay, now I've already hit the 2 weeks and I'm good. But it's like, it could happen anytime. It could happen tonight in my sleep. It could happen anytime.
Do you, okay, so having stood on the real brink of suicide.
Yep.
Do you think about that? Do you think?
No, I think everybody's different. And I'm so curious about that. I've had friends that have attempted suicide. I just don't have that gene. People have said, why don't you? Because in the beginning, when I first got diagnosed, said maybe I should take up residency in Vermont.
Right.
Because you can do assisted suicide there.
Right.
But it's just not, I just feel like for me, that's just, and I think it's great. I'm not that brave.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not that brave to do it. I am not. Like, I can't do it. Like, and I laugh because I say, well, I mean, it's not funny. I say, well, if the nuclear war comes here, I have enough oxy and I save a bottle of wine. I don't drink, but I've got a bottle of wine in my storage of oxy to take us all out. So we'll have a dance party.
There you go.
And then we're out of here. Like that. Okay. That's a different
thing. So if the tariffs piss people off, am I invited to your house?
Yes.
Okay, good. All right.
Everybody's invited.
Just wanted to secure a reservation.
Yes. But yeah, day to day. No, you know, I want to live every last breath. And I hope, like I told hospice, to not let it be choking, because choking is terrifying.
Mm.
And they said it won't be. Like, they told me this last night. And I'm like, okay, I'm really good any other way.
Right.
Hopefully not alone. That's a big thing for me. I don't want to be alone.
Mm.
And I could very well be alone, but I would rather not be alone. So I've had slumber parties.
Right.
Where friends have been coming over, and because they're worried about me, and they know I don't want to be alone, so they spend the night, like, one person at a time. And
How big is that group of people who spend the night?
There's probably a list of, well, I've probably had about 6 people so far.
That's incredible.
But there's probably 15 total. And I've made a joke out of it because of the journals.
Yeah.
So the people that are listening. So a friend stays over. We have dinner. We'll watch a movie. We're in my giant comfy bed. It's really like a teenage slumber party. And then I allow them to pick up one of my journals and read any 3 pages they want.
That's perfect.
And it just...
Do they have to sign an NDA, though?
No, they don't. But what I have said to them...
I'm listening.
I've said, okay, you have to tell me your deepest, darkest secrets. And it's pretty funny because people are like, no, I'm going to take that to my grave. And I'm like, well, I'm going to take it to my grave, too, sooner than you. So just tell me your deepest, darkest secret.
And do they?
I'm still working on it.
Okay. All right.
I said, okay, the second time you're here, I'll let you read 6 pages, and then I get your deepest, darkest secret. And people do have secrets.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that's, you know, it's been fun. Like, we're making fun. We're having fun,
right.
You know? And, you know, I've had a few people that come, and they don't look at me. And they turn their head, and I'm like, are you crying? And they're like, yeah, I'm so sorry. And I'm like, it's totally fine. Like, let's do the cry and then let's like get on with it.
Right.
You know? So I don't have, I think suicide, I think that's a real gene, depression gene.
Mm-hmm.
And I just didn't get that. You know, I have friends that have it. I didn't get it. And I think I'm kind of thankful for that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, because that's a scary place to be.
It's a horrible place to be.
You know? But, so I don't have that.
Will hospice know? Will they say, like, okay, that you're at the 3-day marker?
They say they'll know, but unfortunately, I've had just through my whole journey, including the 2 years I was running around to doctors, and they were saying, it's in your head, you look fine. People have always said, you look fine. So now it's a joke. I say to hospice, I said, apparently I'm going to look fine until the end, so you have to make sure to put my lip gloss on me, which right. is in my drawer with all the drugs. You know, so I really
that was,
do.
That was going to be one of my questions, because you must know people are like, well, wait a second, because you do. You look great.
Thank you.
You really look great, and you're hiking, and then you tell people like, look, it could be 14 days from now. I don't know, and people in the back of their head are like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, nobody. I mean,
is that frustrating for you?
It's not frustrating as long as they really are realizing, like, this is it. Like, this right. is it. This right. is not 3 years ago. Like, people go, well, in the beginning, they give you 2 months. And I go, yeah, in the beginning, I didn't have 53 tumors.
Right.
Now they call my tumors polka dots. Because when they opened me up in August, they saw that they don't even show up in scans yet. I'm littered with, they called it polka. The surgeon said, you know how much time you're littered with polka dots. And I'm like, what is that? And he said, you have tumors in your organs, which we know from scans, and you have tumors floating everywhere in between your organs that are just going to keep growing. And the rate they've been growing is they've been doubling every 2 weeks. Now I don't know. So that's a little weird because I'm in hospice now. So you don't get blood work and you do not get scans.
But,
so you don't know.
Right.
Don't know. It's weird.
But again, I think it's more badass to do it your way. I think it's more badass to live.
Yeah,
have some time where it's not about that. I think your decision's really wise.
Yeah,
have some time and half a day where you're not dealing with it.
Yeah,
because you're dealing with it all the time. Because you get treatment and then it's 2 fucking weeks of
being sick.
Yeah, and then it's time for treatment.
It's a great thing to not be throwing up every day.
Yeah.
So so nice. I'm like, because I know other than I'm having some breakthrough pain, which is a bummer. But other than that, like I lost my appetite, so I'm having to work on that because I've always been a foodie, and I'm like, what is going on? Like I don't even like food, so I'm working on that. But I'm trying to stay healthy. The healthy parts, like hiking, because I love being
That's great.
I love being outdoors.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to do that. So. Even if I only have a few weeks.
That's the spirit about you that I love. You would not expect the sentence, I'm trying to stay healthy, out of somebody who keeps getting told.
Right. Yeah. You
know, that's amazing.
Yeah. I'm going to last as long as I can.
That's amazing.
You know, but, you know, hospice is like, we're going to know, but they're not really because my cancer is so rare. Like Sloan would know because they're used to dealing with patients with my type of cancer. My hospice team has never dealt with my kind of cancer. So I'm like, you know, my fingernails might get yellow or I'm really going to be itching. You know, there's some signs of that, but you know, they know I don't like taking pills. So they're super respectful of that. They've gotten to know me and they know like I need to not be in pain. It's a fine line, but where I'm not messed up in my head from drugs. And you know what? They have done that. Like, I'm not loopy. I'm like all here.
Yeah.
Eventually, I'm not going to be all here, you know?
Right.
But I'm like, I want to be all here.
Is it a gift to get your head back? Because you don't have your head when you're in treatment.
It is.
Right?
It is. I'm thinking very clearly. I'm thinking about things that are really, really genuinely important to me. And there's some things where I'm like, you know what? I'm just not dealing with that.
Right.
Like, whatever it is, somebody's poor behavior or something I maybe don't want to do.
Right.
You know, I mean, for me, it's outdoors. Anything outdoors, I love. Music, dancing, that always buys me a few days.
How do you, I don't know if you can answer this, how do you psychologically withstand the bad news cycle? Like you haven't gotten good news in a while.
True.
You
do cry.
Yeah, but
you cry.
But That's almost psychological warfare. Forget the cancer. It is, right? It's.
Oh, that's funny. It is.
Yeah.
It is psychological. It is. Yeah.
How did what?
I'm not.
Give
sure.
Give me a tip.
I'm not sure. I think, you know, I just think I never forget that first moment when they aborted my surgery. It was the most depressing moment of my entire life. Mm. And I was watching those snowflakes. Something almost psychologically happened to me where I knew I was never going to look at anything negative. I was going to look at things as positive as I could. So whatever happened that day, it just changed me. Mm. I'm not sure how or why or I don't know. But that just helped me.
Have you done the Houdini thing where you're going to like say, have you told people like I'll contact you and let you
oh,
know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I tease people. I'm like, if you're not nice, I'm going to come and haunt your ass. Yeah, I kind of think that somebody, you know, it's like I said, everything's energy.
Yeah.
You got to go somewhere. So
what would you leave me a sign?
So one of my best friends was crying. She was so cute. She was saying that, and I'm like, what are you talking about? And she goes, you know, will you tell me? I'm like, tell you what? She goes, that you, like, you're in the room. Like, make a candle flame go higher or something.
Right.
And I go, oh, if that's what you want, then that's what I'm going to do.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Pick one for me.
Yeah. What do you want?
What would be good?
Like something musical.
Yeah. Yeah. I was just thinking that. Put James Taylor in my face by accident.
Okay.
Thank you.
That's funny.
All right. We're not at your slumber party, but can we do the journal thing?
Okay. We're going to do this. We might have to edit it out. Okay. So
I'm looking at where we are in time, so it makes it easier for myself. Okay. 52 minutes.
So I kept journals in my 20s, and an old boyfriend stole most of them, and I have 4 left.
Oh, that's creepy.
Isn't that creepy? Yeah. Anyway, I was always like to write.
How many of your exes have come out of the woodwork since you started doing this? And
2 of them said they. Oh, actually, one did.
And
I like him, so that was fine.
Okay.
I haven't talked to him in years. He was actually an important part of my life. So he came out. My ex-husband told people he was going to, and he hasn't. And I'm totally fine if he doesn't. You know what? If you want to, you will.
Right.
You know, like I said, it's the people that have been there for me.
Yep.
That I want to spend my time with.
Right.
There's only so much time in a day.
Right.
And it's those friends and family that have helped me. So.
Okay, sorry.
Okay, so you can open it to any page.
Any
you
page.
Can read 3 pages.
3 pages. All right.
This is Russian roulette, people.
Now.
You can pick which one.
What was going on?
So this is all, this is all early 90s.
Early 90s.
So I'm in my
20s. You're in
your 20s. Running around the world.
You're a smoke show. You're running around
the world. I was a smoker back then.
Okay.
Everybody smoked back then.
And you were a model back then.
And I was a model back then.
So you're a smoke show.
And
you're smoking. It's the early 90s.
Dating like crazy.
How much cocaine?
That's
all I'm asking.
No, you know what? I didn't do any of that.
Really?
Mm-mm. I did no drugs ever.
You're a model in the 90s and you didn't
never
do any cocaine.
Never tried any of it.
I'm throwing a bullshit flag. This is the first time
you've
ever lied to me.
People never believe me.
I believe you.
You know what my mom said to me when I was like 17? No, actually, I was 19 and I was going to Tokyo by myself. And I came home to visit and she said, I'm just telling you right now because you smoke cigarettes, you like cigarettes, that you have an addictive personality. And if you ever do cocaine or anything, you're fucked. And that stuck
me. Oh, okay.
It stuck hard.
Wow.
I never did any of it. So you won't read that.
Okay.
But there's other stuff.
Which book do I have the best chance of getting something you want edited?
I have no idea because I haven't read these.
Oh, okay.
I found these in my she shed and I said, I have to read these and burn them because I don't want my son to ever read them.
Let's go with the red one.
This red?
Okay. Yeah. All right, let's see here.
This is funny.
We're at 54 minutes now, so in case I have
hopefully
to edit
you can
this
read
back
my
out.
Writing because I was like a scribbler.
I got blank pages.
That's awesome.
Such a ripper. Okay. The diary's blank. Oh, here we go. All right, here we go. I got pages with writing.
Oh, boy.
All right. Okay.
And this is funny.
Okay. It starts with this. To be so stupid, so in love, taken advantage of.
Oh, no.
Do you know what this is?
No, I have no idea.
I gave such benefit of doubt, and this is it. I better off hugging Caesar, hugging my tree, Hugging behind is not about with Shiva. Yet I myself always loved that. It's heart, soul, and spine. And he says I so need to be at the next level of spirituality. You haven't changed. There's no juice in here. This is beautiful.
Oh, that's so funny.
I need calm, progressive insight without feeling overwhelmed. This is deeply disappointing.
I'm sorry. You turned to the wrong page. I remember that time, actually, I think. I was hanging out with this guy that republished books on Rumi, who's like...
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, that's intense stuff. And we hung out for a while, but the guy did fall in love with me, and I did not fall in love with him.
Ooh.
So there is a little bit of heartbreak in there somewhere.
I need calm, progressive insight without feeling overwhelmed. I need patience and understanding without pressure. It's the same stupid thing. Friends who love me but don't expect, anticipate, love me, period. It's the same thing.
I'm right, sorry.
Wait, can I go redo?
Okay, do a redo.
All right, yeah, just one redo. Just to see, blank again.
This is awesome.
I passed out or just about, laughing like crazy. Still laughing feels great to feel my insides vibrate so much. So simple laugh. I'm out of here. That's the worst game ever.
That's awesome.
Apparently you have not changed at all.
That's great. That's funny.
I need to laugh and I want calm, progressive insight.
I guess I haven't.
Man.
That's kind of a bummer.
Right? No cocaine, calm, progressive insight.
Oh. Yeah, I remember though in my 20s, like, you know, I was really skydiving and running around the world. Like, I felt an incredible freedom in my 20s, for sure. And then life gets real, you know? You get married and maybe you pick the wrong person and you have kids and it's not what you thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
And then, you know, then life gets real.
Right.
Like, in your 20s, those are like your freedom years.
Yeah.
You know? And then life gets real. So you are reading, like I said, from my 20s.
It's beautiful, though.
But
you dated somebody recently, right?
Oh, I did.
Yeah.
So this summer,
yeah.
It was a little crazy, but it was fun. Yeah, I met the guy the first time I met him in a restaurant. He was very chatty. And he said, I said, you know, why aren't you married? What happened? Or, you know, what happened in your divorce? And he said, I didn't get divorced. My wife died of brain cancer 2 years ago.
Mm.
And I'm like, oh, geez. Like, first 5 minutes, I meet the guy.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, well, I have to tell him I have terminal cancer right now. Because that would be rude if I didn't.
Yeah.
Because he just gave me an opening. So I told him, I don't know that he really heard me. And I told him many times. And then when I ended up in the hospital, I was laughing with some nurses. I was teasing some nurses.
Of course you were.
That, you know, they're like, you know, your boyfriend's cute, because he came down and was sleeping on the couch. And I'm like, why are you nurses single? And this really good looking doctor came in to talk to me, you know, young.
Right.
And I said to the girls, the nurses, I'm like, what's wrong with him? He's like super smart and he's super good looking and he's super nice. Well, the guy I was going out with got super jealous.
Of that.
And I'm like, yeah, that's not going to work.
Ooh, that's a problem.
Yeah, that's jealousy is not a good thing.
No.
So, but you know what?
Did you bump into that a lot because you were a model? Was it hard to date guys because they were...
It wasn't so much when I modeled. It was when I was a skydiver, because skydiving is a male sport.
Right.
There's not a lot of women. And so I had a lot of guy friends. So boyfriends, you know, weren't skydivers.
Oh, right.
So they would get jealous of the male skydivers.
Right.
Which was really silly, and I can't stand jealousy to this day.
Yeah.
I just think it's evil and unnecessary. And if somebody's going to be with you, they want to be with you.
Right. It's fear-based. It's the same as...
Fear-based,
yeah. Almost all negativity is fear-based,
yeah.
I think, right?
Yeah.
Now, you're writing.
I am writing, yeah.
What are you working on?
Well, so initially, I'm like, I got to write a memoir. The first essay I did was about the snow. And I'm so I went to a writing class at SUNY New Paltz. And 8 of us decided to continue. And they're just all great and so smart and supportive, and it's a safe space. So I'll write about anything I'm in the mood to write about. I'm trying to do a memoir, but sometimes I don't want to write about myself.
Mm.
So I write about something completely
different.
I had a deer. I'm not going to get into the story so much, but a deer died on my property because my neighbor's barbed wire fence fell, and the deer got caught. And the police had to come shoot it.
Oh, that's rough.
And it was awful. But I wrote another essay about you know, the deer was struggling and the babies came, her babies, because they were born in my yard last spring.
Oh, God.
It was terrible. And all these deer came and surrounded her to, like, say, like, get up. Like, you got to get up.
Right.
Like, the state trooper came and cut the fence, and then we were just, like, waiting. And anyway, she couldn't get up. So we had to put her down. But I all of a sudden, I was, like, hysterical. And so I wrote about it, but I compared it to people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm like, the deer's like me. You know, the good people come and right. surround you to help you.
Right.
And, like, that's what I mean. It's like, just, we're all the same.
Mm-hmm.
Nature, us, it's all, you know, it's all energy. And I watched that. And it was just, it was terribly sad because we had to put her down.
Right.
You know? And, but I noticed another mother has taken the younger deer under her wing.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm Sweet. Like, so I that's what I was in the mood to write about because I was right. so stressed out about the whole experience. So that's what I wrote about. So sometimes it's sad and shocking, and other times it's fun, and sometimes it's about cancer. And I'm writing about my California trip, which was one mind-blowing experience after another.
Beautiful.
So I'm kind of writing about everything. The mentors probably, I'm not good. People are like, just record it, and we can write it.
Yeah.
But I'm old-fashioned. I'm like pinned to paper.
Me too. Yeah.
I'm pinned to paper.
Me too.
So.
In this journey, could I have any, I had an experience about it, so I just wanted to see if it's typical or not. In this journey, measuring quantitatively the amount of support and love you get, was it more from friends or more from family?
Oh, interesting. So my family doesn't live here, so it's a little unfair.
Right.
Because they live in Colorado.
Right.
So my family's always been supportive, you know, via phone calls and obviously, when I was first diagnosed, people came out one by one. Now they're coming out a little. Now they're coming out again one by one. Two sisters have come.
Yeah.
Help me pack up my house. Help me donate like 50 blankets to the Walden, you know, dog pound or whatever it's called. And they were just helping me like crazy because they knew, okay, my control, I can control this. So help me control it. And they were helping me do everything. But my friends... You know, I started coming to this area in, when I was 24. I'm 56 now. Mm. And I bought a house up here in 97 and moved up here from the city right after 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
And my friends have day to day have. My family would do it too if they lived here.
Okay.
My family knows I have great friends here.
So
that, they are beyond grateful that I have that here.
Okay. So my experience was not typical then.
My family's been great.
We found that friends like really ponied up and...
And family didn't?
Yeah.
I think family gets more scared.
Yeah, but you need to overcome that.
I know.
You?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. You do. You know, my mom, who's amazing, I have an amazing mother. I'm very fortunate. But she said, I don't want to come because I want to be there when you die. Like, she's very insistent on that. She wants to be the one... That's there when I take my last breath. And she wants to be the one to bathe me.
Do you want that?
Oh, I would love that because she's amazing. But I'm like, Mom, like that could happen tomorrow.
Right.
Like, and you're not here. Like, you should really come.
Come live with me.
While I still have my head intact.
Right.
Well, I still have my thinking intact. So, you know, she will.
You're even so much clearer than the last show you did. Like, you can tell. Like, everything's... I'm so happy for you.
Well, the world sort of, you know, it gets like,
right.
I know what to expect.
Right.
Well, not really, but I do.
Right.
I have acceptance. I have more acceptance now than I did.
Do you factor in like 57? Your looks must be such a pain.
56.
56, I'm sorry.
Did I say 57? I'm 56.
You might, no, I might
Sometimes I lose track.
I might have misheard. Okay, 56. I probably misheard as a matter of fact. Like I look like I'm 61 now, right? And I'm like, okay.
No, you don't.
You're like, oh, yeah. But I'm like, I'm 61, and I think, you know, if I were to go today, I don't want to.
Right. That's
but
good.
If I were to, I'm satisfied that I got a life.
Yes.
Like at 61, I got a life. I had a kid. I had a marriage. I made a podcast. I got to sing for you. I'm good.
Yeah.
Do you feel that way at 56?
100%.
That you had a life?
I'm totally good.
Okay.
Yep.
That must help too then,
It right? helps tremendously.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, you know what? Wow. I'm literally like, wow, what a ride. Yeah. That was awesome.
Yeah.
You know, I really do. I mean, I've had some really hard times, really hard. I was in a domestic abuse situation. Mm. There's been, you know, hard times, no question.
Right.
But bright there is for everybody.
Right.
So you take the good with the bad.
Right.
And I am, you know, I try to tell friends, like, you know, because my best friends are just in tears. Like, I don't know what I'm going to do without you. I'm
right.
Like, you're going to be totally fine. You're going to be totally fine without me.
Maybe. You know? I don't know.
But
you leave a pretty big dent.
But
I don't know.
You know, I'm like, and because of my friends, like, what a ride. It's just been great.
Mm.
You know, yeah. And I do. I feel incredibly blessed for the last 4 years, kind of more than ever.
Mm.
Even though I've been sick.
That's why I think it's so important that you write, because
yeah.
You have, you're kind of like the perfect storm of somebody mm-hmm. who knows things that other people don't know.
Yeah.
Right, you have a vague idea of when the lights are going to go out.
Yep.
You're relentless in doing everything you can until that happens. Mm-hmm. Whereas most people kind of fade into it, and you know, most people just kind of spend more hours in bed, and you're
yep.
spending less. You just said, "I'm trying to stay healthy."
Yeah.
I think that has to give you. If you write, I bet that gives you insights nobody else could give us.
Yes, it does. Well, it's interesting because my oncologist, this was a changing point as well for me that really stood out. He said to me probably 2.5 years ago, he said, "What are you doing?" And I'm like, "What do you mean?" He's like, "No, what are you doing? Like, we're, you know, because Sloan's very team oriented,
yeah.
So they have like team meetings. We were talking about it, like, what are you doing?" And I go, "Well, what do you mean?" He goes, "Well, you're always planning stuff and you always make plans for the future." Okay, like, yeah. And he goes, "Well, most people get the diagnosis and they go home and they lay on their couch and they die."
Yeah.
And that was such a turning moment for me. I started mentoring the next day. Because I'm like, okay,
I
don't like that. I have to do what I can to
That's
change
awesome.
That.
Yeah.
And, you know, I did. And the last few weeks have been hard because the day before I went to the hospital, a very good friend of mine died.
Mm.
And we were friends. And I was mentoring her.
Right.
Very privately. Nobody really knew that. And then her husband and her best friend were like, "She was so thankful for you."
Sure.
That's when it got real.
Because,
sorry.
No, it's okay.
These two people weren't supposed to go before me, like, at all. And they did, because you just never know.
Right. Right.
You know, you just don't know. One fell asleep and one didn't. You know, it's hard.
Yeah. What's the meaning of life for you now then? Like, why are we here? You must have a...
I don't know. I still don't know that.
Mm.
I really don't. If I had to say something, I would say...
It's a show, Leslie. I have to say something.
I'm sorry. I would really say it's to give.
Mm.
Like, you have to learn to give.
Right.
And you have to learn to receive. That's been a little hard for me too.
I was going to ask about that.
It's a little hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're a skydiver. You don't like to...
Yeah. Control freak a little bit. Yeah.
Well, no, but you much prefer giving.
Yeah.
We were coming to play for you and you're like, "What kind of food do you want?" I'm like, "Lady, you can't get out of bed. We're all right."
Yeah.
And I'm like, I love that. That was your instinct is I want to give.
Yeah.
And you did, by the way. You have a beautiful house, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's
really
cozy.
Nice. Yeah.
Cozy. Yeah. I think people really need to really like look deep and figure out what you want to do, because it's different for everybody. What's going to make you smile? Because depression in our country, well, worldwide, is just huge.
Right.
And I have a roommate that tends to have depression issues, and I'm like, "Come lay on the couch in the sun.
Right.
Like, get some sun. Like, make your list of like what it is that you're going to find joy in, because it's hard for some people."
Right.
So I think helping people do that, and as a person, you owe it to yourself to make a list of what's going to figure out what's going to make you happy and head that direction. But then I also, which I learned that through this journey for me, like, make plans that you're going to enjoy so you have something to look forward to. But also the giving is huge, because I didn't know I was giving. And then I realized it, and then it just made me want to do it more.
Right.
And then it's just a awesome ricochet effect. You know, then people are sending me these incredible cards.
Right.
Which makes me want to get more, and now they're giving back to me.
Right.
So it's awesome. Circle.
That is awesome. I know I said this before, but it bears repeating. That's why I love your decision so much. When I learned of your decision,
yeah.
I got really happy because I was like, because I've seen like with Trish, what happens when you stop treatment and the lights come yeah. back on and you get that person back.
Yeah.
And I'm like, she's such a badass. She should definitely, if we're going to say goodbye, that's the way.
Yeah.
That's the way to do
it. And I'm lucky because I get to do it.
Yeah.
I'm like, I get that opportunity.
Yeah.
And I try to tell people, well, my friends that I was mentoring that passed, like, get your ducks in order, but make that time with your child or your husband or your family or whoever, your friends. Right. So it's special for you
mm-hmm.
and for them. Like, they have something to hang on to,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I'm lucky because I have great friends. I really am. And we all like music and dancing. And
yeah, I saw.
They love to get me out if they can help me get out.
Yep.
You know, my friend drove me here today. You know, yeah. I'm really fortunate.
Shitty nurses are the worst thing on the planet. Gosh. Am I wrong?
It's the worst. It's a hard job, but...
It's a hard job, but don't take it if you can't.
I'm not a hard patient, so don't be mean to me.
Yeah. It's a hard job, but don't take it if you can't do it well.
I agree.
I couldn't be a nurse, so I'm not.
Nurse Ratchet said to me in the morning, she was the night nurse, she said, and I'll just make this clear, it's not a local nurse, she's not in Hudson Valley. She said, I woke up, that's when I was crying, I was having this like reality check, like, oh, crap, this is it.
Right.
Like, I am officially in hospice. Like, I'm done. And she walked in and she goes, what are you crying about? Like, she's scolding me. And I go, I'm just really tired. Because I was. Because she bugged me every 5 minutes. And she goes, well, I'm tired too. I've been working all night.
Fuck off.
And I just looked at her. I go, wow. And she goes, no, what is wrong? And she closed the door. And I go, you really want to know what's wrong? And I didn't call her Nurse Ratchet. I almost did.
Right.
I try to be nice. But I said... I'm dying. I just found out I'm in hospice.
What was her response?
She didn't respond. She walked out the door. I think she didn't know what to say.
Yeah.
Which is okay, you know, but that's a hard job. I don't know if I could do that job.
It is a hard job, but because we bumped into a few of those too. You are dealing with people at their absolute most vulnerable. If you can't do that gracefully, don't do the job.
Don't do it. I agree.
Because you're doing more damage.
Yep, I agree.
And it amazes me that people can't see that. Because we had some most amazing nurses, too.
Yep. Yeah, the next day I had, like, the dream team.
Yeah.
Once she left.
Yeah. But the difference is so stark. I'm like, how do you not see that you're not them and can't do this?
Yeah.
Can't do this job?
I used to be, many, many years ago, a volunteer EMT.
Oh, okay.
And
that makes sense.
You know, I learned a lot about death. Because when you start CPR on somebody, even if they die while you're working on them, legally you have to do CPR until you get to the ER.
Right.
So when you're starting way in New Paltz or these little towns...
You're in for 45 minutes.
You're 45 minutes doing CPR. Yeah. And I'm like doing CPR and the people are... I know they're dead. So, you know, it's not pretty. There's nothing pretty about when somebody dies. There's right. cleanup. But I'm like, you know what? I'm going to do the best I can do. Because when we get out of this ambulance, we have to tell their family that they died.
Mm.
And that's a hard position, but you want to make it as good as you can
right.
for the person dying and for their friends or family.
Right, right.
You know, so I'm just like, you know, it's always, my motto's always been live while you're living, which that stands true. But more than ever, I'm like, just be nice. Just be kind.
Yeah. It's not that tough.
It's not that tough. And it goes a really long way.
What's the best news you've gotten over the last 4 years?
Honestly, when I got out of the hospital the end of August, and so a friend of mine that lives in California, she said, when are you coming to visit me in Mexico? Because she has a house in Mexico. And I go, I don't feel comfortable going to Mexico with being so sick right. with the hospitals and this and that.
Yeah, you touched one drop of the wrong water and you're going to wish
exactly,
you were in
chemo. And I always get sick for some, exactly. So I said, but I want to come see you in Santa Monica. And I said, because I'm trying to figure out a 3-week road trip, but I have to find a driver. And she said, she didn't miss a beat. I'll be your driver. I'm going to do this trip with you. Yep. And, you know, I was a little worried because I'm like, shout out to Julie. I was a little worried because I'm like, I've known her for years, but I've never traveled with her, which that's a different thing.
That's very
when
different
when you travel
thing.
With somebody.
Yep.
And, oh my God, she was like amazing. We had just the most incredible time. And she was waiting for me to call her and say I can't go because I was in the hospital getting surgeries. And I kept saying, I'm not going to call her. I'm going to wait. And you know what? She held her entire schedule for me.
Mm.
And I called her 2 days before and I said, I'm still coming. And she was ready for me.
Perfect.
And we had this incredible trip. So it was not only one of the nicest things. It just was like cool on every level.
Right.
And the whole trip. All these people from my past that came forward to make time and to do all these nice things. It was, I can't tell you, it was like amazing.
You got to write the script for that movie.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I could write a book just on the California trip. It was that incredible. Mm. And I was so fortunate. And that trip, I kind of knew like, that's probably going to be your last big trip.
Right.
And I did have a trip. I'm supposed to actually be in St. John this week. And
I'm with John.
There you go. Yes, I'm with John Burton. And you know that might still happen, but I'm like I just feel like I have to be home now, and I want to be with my friends.
Yeah, yeah.
And just medically, I want to die at home versus
far away. Right.
You know
that makes sense.
So like I said, it's been a good ride.
Is anybody mentoring you?
You know, I think people accidentally, they don't realize it, but they are. The people that I mentor, ultimately, if I mentor them long enough, we become friends, and they're mentoring me.
Right.
And so, like, my two friends that recently passed, it's hard because they would be the first people texting me because they understand chemo. Like, good luck, or, oh my God, do you need anything? And, oh, shit, I'm like, oh, I'm sorry you got that bad news, because they get it.
Right.
And it's been hard not having them because they were mentoring me too,
mm-hmm.
or wishing me well,
right.
and they're not here now.
Have they given you signs?
Yes.
Well, go ahead.
No, this is weird. Nobody's going to believe me. I was in my bed.
Okay.
I'm in my bed a lot. I watch a lot of movies and I read a lot and music, all that. And my dog is always in my bed. And my dog sat up, not scared, but head cocked, looking around like somebody's there. And I kind of got freaked out, like, what are you looking at? Like, nobody's here. And then I look, and it was like I just knew it was them. It was 2 days after these two people died. This is recent. And they were in my room. And they didn't even know each other. They were each on separate sides of my bed.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, no way. And I just kind of like heard, like, we're just checking on you. It's part of the reason I'm not scared to die is because I've had so many people that have died, and now whether I'm making it up in my head or not, who knows, that have literally, I'll just be driving when I was driving, or I'll be in the shower, or I'll be doing whatever, cooking my dinner,
right,
and I will hear from very specific people, don't worry, it's gonna be okay. Like, it's amazing. And I'm not making that up. I've heard it from too many people, and I've heard it so many times that it makes me not scared.
Well, that doubt is insidious, isn't it?
It's weird.
No, because like it makes miracles so hard to, or messages like that, it makes them so hard to get the true meaning out of, because the first thing you feel like you have to say is, am I making this up? I don't know.
Am I crazy?
So if it really happened, that it really happened.
Yeah.
When you start doubting it, you lower the, but you can't help it. Right.
You can't help it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, but I'm like, okay, well, I'm feeling their energy and this is what I'm getting out of it. So whatever it is, for me has been helpful.
Right. I think it is what it is.
I'm just less scared.
I will tell you this story. So I had a medium on the show who's her Shayna Moore, right?
Yes. Okay. She is awesome. I would like to see her.
Would you?
Yeah.
I can make that happen.
She was great. I would love that.
Okay. So I after the show, because I was like a little skeptical. So after the show, she says, look, I can tell you a little. Why don't you let me do a reading for you? And I'm like, okay. So we go. I go to her house and she does the reading. And it was really good. But if you had if you spent a lot of time on the internet, you could probably get really close to what she does.
Yep.
So I still was like, I don't know. At the same time, my daughter Gramercy, it's the start of her senior year, and they're going on a senior trip to the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
But it's only students, and it's a company that gets like 50-50 reviews online, right?
Oh boy!
So Gramercy and I are going back and forth about it, but nobody else knows. It's just me and Graham going back. I mean, Trish knew, but me and Graham going back and forth. Like, I don't think it's a good idea. So, you know.
You're being dad.
Yeah, yeah. Nobody else knew that. So as we're walking down, so she says, can I take a picture with you? So I'm like, sure. So we go in her foyer. She takes camera, like, to take a selfie. And she goes, and this is before I used her name online. Now I use it because she's 17, but this was before.
Right.
She goes, good. Graham? And I'm like, Gramercy? She goes, yeah. She goes, Bahamas? I go,
no way.
Yeah? And she goes, don't worry, she'll be fine.
And I'm like, wow.
Okay.
There's no way she would have known that.
There's no way to know it.
Yeah.
So now I'm like,
yeah, that's what I mean. There's energy. I just think there's energy everywhere. And, you know, if you think positive about it, it's positive energy.
Right. What do you think your legacy is? Do you think about your legacy?
I don't think about that.
You don't?
No. I think the live while you're living, like, has stuck with a lot of people.
Yeah.
So if I had to say I left anything behind, I would say it's that.
Mm.
Like, that I really tried to get people to make the most of their situation, circumstances, to change their viewpoint on, you know,
mm-hmm.
Go do things that you like and enjoy and make yourself do it.
Have you had thoughts during these 4 years that you wouldn't say?
Sometimes I want to tell people, like, just get it together. I know that's terrible.
I don't think that's all that terrible.
You know, just, like, get it together. Like, we're in a first world country. Yeah, there's some bad stuff here and there, but I mean, listen, if you have to live anywhere,
right?
We're in a first world country. We have food. We have shelter for the most part. I mean, there are homeless kids that we need to help,
right?
And homeless people. But I, you know, sometimes I want to just say, like, stop complaining and get it together.
Mm.
Because your life really is not that bad.
Right.
So you need to switch your thought process and go make some good memories for yourself. Mm-hmm.
Do you think the fact that you're still moving your body is helping you?
Yes, 100%. 100%. 100%.
I'm doing work with, I'm so lucky to the Thyroid Head and Neck Cancer Foundation. I'm doing their caregiver thing.
I saw that.
And
it's great.
The first thing we're doing is focusing on the importance of moving your body for everybody. And people are kind of resistant to that, and I'm like, just do it then.
Yeah.
Just do it one time then. And
well, here's the thing. I mean, this is medically proven. And this used to be one of the first things when I first started mentoring, I'd say to cancer patients, because they'd be in bed. And that stuck with me. Like my oncologist said, everybody lies on the couch and dies.
Right.
It's because they're not moving at all.
Right.
So I would get people, I go, just get up and walk to your mailbox once.
Yep.
And then walk to your mailbox twice. And then, because you cannot make white blood cells, which you need for health, mm-hmm. if you're not moving at all. And I also know this because I was in bed for almost 6 weeks because I couldn't get out of bed.
Right.
I was really sick. And now I'm getting back to moving, which I'm so grateful for. And just a little bit, you know, just go do a little bit. It starts with a little bit. Just start.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's extreme. It's important for your overall health. It's important for your mental health.
Yeah. What's been the most surprising part of this?
That I made it this far. Yeah, because you still have that thing in your head like, wow, like nobody's surviving this cancer.
Do you ever think you're different? Like I know that's magical thinking, but maybe it isn't. Like, you're
well, so when my oncologist said that to me the one time, like, what are you doing? I was blown away, like, oh, are people doing it different than me? I didn't realize that.
Right.
So I think I'm different in the sense that just whatever genes I have, like, I just have always liked adventure. I've always liked to do things. Mm-hmm. I've always liked to make things happen.
But I mean, like, physically different. Like, do you think, like, and maybe it's because of your mental state or not, but you, the way you look, the energy, I mean, you're full bore today. The way you were full bore last week. Do you think there's something different about your body that is managing this?
I think my body, honestly, a little bit now is like, do everything you can. Like, you have a month. Mm. Like, hustle it up.
Right.
I think it's a little bit, you know, they say when people are at end stage of life and, you know, there's a series of things that happen. And if you read really what happens, I'm like, oh, that's already me. I'm already there. Mm. Like, I'm already doing that end of life sort of checklist.
Right.
With organizing and giving stuff away. But I think I'm different in the sense that when that surgeon told me I only had 2 months and I watched those snowflakes, just something happened to me that made me just appreciate every little thing. Mm. Even when I was puking, I'd be like, okay, it's countdown. In 3 days, by Saturday, you won't be puking. Mm. So what are you going to plan for Saturday?
That's amazing.
Because yeah. I won't be puking.
Right.
So I think I was just gifted.
Right.
That reality on that day. Mm-hmm. When I got that horrible news that this is the way I was going to choose, the path I was going to choose, mm-hmm. to live the best I can, the most I can, until I'm done. And mentor that. And that was my oncologist got me. That's how that started.
That's incredible.
Yeah. So I don't know.
What else do you want to tell everybody?
So, like I keep saying, just be nice.
It's
so simple, but it's like really, like I have come to understand this really even more in the last few weeks because I really was in a dark place being so sick in the hospital. And, you know, I couldn't find a ride. I won't go to hospitals around here. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I'm going to go to the ER in New York City, to Sloan's ER. And I had to find a ride. I had to find somebody to drive me with traffic. These days, it's like 2.5-3 hours.
Right.
And somebody came forward, my friend Lisa, she was in the middle of a class, she dropped everything she was doing, and she's never going to understand the difference that made.
Right.
For me, it was ginormous.
Yep.
Huge. And like, I'll never forget that. She's just going to go along her life, and she's going to have no idea that was any big deal.
Right.
But it was huge. Mm. So do little things make a huge difference. Huge. People don't realize it. Mm. You coming to my house, that was huge. You guys all taking off work and them driving all that way and you driving all that way and your wife cooking all that food. We were all like, oh my God, that was like the best energy and the nicest thing. And you're probably going to have no idea really what that meant to me and my friends that were there. That were lucky enough to be there. If I knew it was going to be that incredible, I would have invited everybody. I would have had like 20 people in my house at least.
No, that was the perfect room. That was the perfect room.
But I think just, you know, do little things and be nice.
It's amazing how it's all that simple. It's just
that simple.
It's
that simple.
And we spend like our whole lives trying to make it more complicated.
Oh my gosh.
And then you get to the point where you're looking at the wall and you're like, oh man, all it is just be nice.
We make everything too complicated.
Right.
And it shouldn't be. Yeah, but you know, you just do the best you can do with what you have and be nice. Mm-hmm. Be nice. I mean, I've had so many people be nice to me, and then I take that energy and I...
Be nice somewhere.
Be nice. Yeah, you just, you know, you pass it around, and that's important.
Anything else you want to...
Thanks for having me.
Oh, please.
It's always fun.
Oh.
It's always fun, and I'm looking forward to your upcoming...
Lifted Project? Yeah, but you're not going to fucking be here.
Yeah, I will.
April 6th, you're going to be in...
No. Mm-mm. I don't fly out till the 7th.
Really?
Yeah, I'll be here.
I will.
Yeah.
Can we sit next to Trish again?
Yes.
Those are some.
I'm gonna come and dance.
Those are some. Yes, please. Those are some of my favorite pictures, man.
Yeah,
the pictures of you and
yeah. No, I think it's you're doing amazing work. Oh, I think it's incredible. Part of me is like, oh my gosh, I have never even done a fundraiser for my own type of cancer, and I'm like, I need to figure out something to do to bring awareness.
I think you've brought awareness, lady.
You think?
Yeah.
Okay.
People are pretty aware. I think you've done it.
Okay.
Because it's not like it's not always about just raising money.
That's true.
By watching, maybe you're like the Lifted Project doesn't raise money. Maybe the nonprofit partners can if they want to.
Right.
But it's really just to. But we don't take any money.
Right.
And what I have found is, it sometimes it's more profound just to tell your story. And then people hear your story who aren't in a position to raise money.
Right.
They
that's
go
true.
Raise the money, but
that's
they wouldn't true. Have if they didn't hear your story.
Yeah, that's true.
So, you know.
Yeah, and just be nice.
And just be nice.
And all you nurses out there are amazing. But just
except
be nice.
For the one.
Except for the one.
Oh, thank you for doing this.
Yeah, thank you so much, John.
No problem. And,
it's always a pleasure coming.
And tell me when you want to come back.
And you know what? So everybody, the weather's going to get bad the next few weeks. I'm a weather person. Don't complain. Just enjoy the snow.
Beautiful way to go out. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. I'm going to shut this off. Everything good?
Everything's awesome.
Beautiful.